Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look at the market this morning. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities through Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been sort of an unusual week, and I want to ask you about the Fed. But first, let me ask you about something that I saw. I think we reported on this program on Wednesday. It was from Morgan Keegan. And they reiterated their market perform rating on Mohawk. They reduced their estimates for the company. And in their research note, they said the company's margins are likely to come under pressure during the fourth quarter and for fiscal 2008. And they said that would be the result of declining industry volumes, inventory correction, and rising costs of raw materials. They also said the company's likely to face some difficulties in implementing price hikes. They said that's due to the unfavorable demand in the environment. Now, in terms of the reductions of their estimates for 2007, they reduced it from $6.25 a share to $6.22. And for 2008, they reduced their estimates from $6.49 to $6.41 a share. What are your thoughts in general? And I'm asking you this especially in light of the producer price report we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that producer price index report, because I think it's one of the keys with this, not just Mohawk, but somewhat overall to the market in general as well, but specifically to Mohawk. And let me say this before I answer your questions here. As I always say, folks do not need to read into anything I say as implying as to whether I think you should buy this stock or sell this stock or hold it or whatever the case may be. I've chosen not to give specific stock advice on a radio show for all sorts of reasons, but I think what we can do is as we always try to do with individual stocks, is put some perspective on things to some degree, and then point out some things that we've just observed and point out some things that someone may want to at least consider if they're looking at a particular stock. So with all that said, the things that jump out at me from that report you just talked about is four main things. One is margins. Two is price increases. Three is earnings estimate reductions. And then four is the overall industry comment. And Dave, I don't know how much detail you want. We can talk about those each or whatever you...
You can't give too much detail on talking about companies in this business.
Okay, that's what I thought. The margin issue, what I think I would do if I were an investor is anytime you hear that margins may be under pressure, declining, whatever the case may be, you need to take note of that. And tying that back into this PPI report that came out yesterday morning, which was the highest increase since 1973, I think it was.
I think that's what the year was, yes.
Yeah, and it was much higher than expectations as well, so that is at least worthy of some attention. But anyway, and you and I talked about this several months ago, talking about the industry, and we had a brief discussion about price increases. And we were talking about how it might be difficult to get price increases through in an environment where demand is declining and or the consumer may not be in as good a shape to pay those price increases as they might, you know, have been in the past. So anyway, when you see a PPI report like we got yesterday, it would be a reasonable conclusion that any company subject to that type increase at the producer level in prices is going to either need to do one of several, is going to need to do several things to try to mitigate that, one of which is raise prices at the consumer level and pass along those higher costs. And if they aren't able to do that, then you have to ask yourself, will these companies be able to maintain margins? And it's not just floor covering, it's anyone that is subject to this type problem. So that's the first thing you want to try to get your hands around as an investor looking at a company in this type of situation. The other thing is they talked about declining industry volumes. That's right in line with a lot of the stuff we had discussed over this year about our thoughts that housing would continue to deteriorate and be a problem and slow things down and all that sort of thing. So there's nothing in this report that's surprising to me, and I would think that this would not be surprising to most folks out there. That's just an opinion. So take that for what it's worth. The reductions in earnings estimates, that's obviously not what you want to see, but those aren't really big enough. For example, 08, 649 to 641, I think you said.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Yeah, that's not something that would, if I were looking at this stock as an investor, that's not something that would really enter into my thinking. It's just not a big reduction.
Mike, let me jump in here with a break before you get into that. We're running a little bit long.
Okay.
Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, just before the break, we were talking about Mohawk and the Morgan Keegan, reiterating the report that came out Wednesday, reiterating their market perform rating and cutting their estimates. As you mentioned just when we'd taken the break, cutting it not by very much. What are your thoughts on Mohawk shares in general?
Well, the things I would look at, in addition to what we've already talked about, is, in fact, let me just talk about a specific little scenario that I think folks need to maybe educate folks on something to look for when you're looking at a stock versus the market. Mohawk was above 100 back early in the summer, late June, early July, right in that time frame, and started down pretty methodically, just pretty much straight down over the next month or so. It went down about 85. During that same time, let's just look at Interface. Interface, roughly the same time frame, was just above 20 and dropped down to 17. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, and I'm just using that as a market comparison, was right at 14,000 and dropped down to below 13. So the first thing you want to do is, number one, look at some of the other companies in the industry. And of course, we need to clarify one thing. Interface is more commercial.
Right.
In fact, I think Interface is all commercial.
Just about, yes.
Okay. And of course, Mohawk is a blend of a lot of different things. But be that as it may, they're still in the same industry. So if there were more companies that are public that you could compare to Mohawk, it would clearly be a better comparison. But given that that's not really the case, we won't talk about that. But my point is, market's down. Mohawk's down, Interface is down, and a lot of other stocks were down as well. That in and of itself is enough to at least tell you, okay, this stock's just getting caught up in the market itself, and it's not necessarily a stock problem with the company. That's the first thing. Now, where things changed a little bit is when the market, again, looking at the Dow, when it started back up from that low in the summer and went back above 14,000 from being under 13, during that same time, Interface went back to 20, where it was when the drop started earlier in the summer. Mohawk, on the other hand, did not go back up to its high. In fact, it went even lower. And when the Dow was right around 14,000, Mohawk was a little bit lower, just below 85 or so. So you don't want to see that. That's a divergence, as we call it in the technical analysis world. And you, that's not a good sign when you see that. So that's when you really want to step up your attention and try to get a sense of what's going on there. So, and then from that, Mohawk's gone even lower, just below 80. The Dow went back lower as well, which, again, so did Interface, which puts you back in a situation where, okay, Now it's doing what everything else is doing, so maybe it's not so much a problem now. But what's happened lately is the Dow has bounced again. As everyone knows, that puts us up to about where we are now. It wasn't too many weeks ago we were under 13 on the Dow and then made a pretty good up move. Interface was under 17, went back above 18 briefly, and Mohawk has hardly bounced at all. So I just wanted to point that out. People are asking if Mohawk's a buy at this level, and I won't go as so far as to get into that specifically, but what I would look at, if you were looking at Mohawk, what I would look at is it's pretty much gone sideways here since early November. And it's in a trading range, so to speak, right now. That's what we call that. And if it stays in this range a while, I would keep an eye on it. If it breaks down through this range, it changes the whole picture, I think. If the market were to start back up again and start approaching new highs, you would want to see Mohawk do the same thing, most likely. The problem with Mohawk, I think, as well as any other company, furniture manufacturers, floor covering manufacturers, anything related to housing is having a tough time. And we've talked about that on the show for months now, so I won't get into all that. Everyone knows about that. But it's just in the heat of where a lot of the problems are right now in this country, in the economy, in the market itself. So that's another thing that makes it a tough spot at the moment.
Gotcha. Let's take another pause here, Mike. Mike Barker's with us this morning. He is with Investment and Retirement Management. He's also a regular with us here. We're going to pause. We'll be right back. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Now, Mike, just before the break, we were talking about Mohawk and about, I guess, the economy in general and about what their share price has been doing. It seems like the economic news that we've been seeing of late makes any stock related to housing look less attractive. Is there any reason to think that the replacement market can come back anytime soon? I mean, it would seem like the comeback of the replacement market has been delayed, if anything, by all the economic news we've been hearing.
Oh, I don't, and I've said this for most of the year, I just don't see any reason to think that housing is going to get better anytime soon to any material degree. I will say this, I had said all year, in fact, starting about this time last year, that we thought housing would be the problem this year. And a lot of folks kept saying it had bottomed and all that sort of thing, and we just never bought into that. And it has continued to get worse this year. I'm not as aggressive now in saying that I think we have not seen the bottom yet in housing. We've seen a lot of damage, and I feel really strongly that it's not going to get better anytime soon, you know, in a material way. But are we going to continue to see this deterioration in housing that we have seen? Not so sure about that at this point. There are all kinds of things we're looking at to try to get a sense of when housing has at least stabilized to some degree. I'm not prepared yet to say that I think we've seen that, because I don't think we've seen it. But what I'm getting at is we may be getting close to that now. And I won't get in a lot of detail as to why we think that, because we don't have a firm opinion on it yet. But as far as it, and the reason I say that, I think what will happen with housing, I think it'll be a three-stage situation. I think housing will first stabilize, and a lot of folks will begin to talk about thinking it has stabilized. Hopefully we'll get a sense of when that's happening and accurately talk about that. But I think it will take a while for people to really believe it. And that'll be the second stage. I think the second part will be people going through the doubt about whether housing is stabilized or not. And it'll take some time. Folks will begin to believe that it's stabilized. It probably will stabilize. And then the third stage will be, you know, some improvement. And I think that's how it will unfold. I will be really surprised, though, if we see much improvement through 08.
Well, I was just going to ask you, by the time we see stage three, we'll probably be in 2009 anyway.
It very well could be.
In fact, we may be even well into 2009, I suppose.
It could be.
Let me change the subject a bit here. Well, before I do that, let me just ask you about Interface shares. They're being involved more in, you know, just about solely in the commercial arena. Whole different set of circumstances there, huh?
Yeah, whole different set of circumstances so far. And the reason I say so far is the credit crunch out there that everyone knows about now that is causing a lot of problems in our economy now in the market, especially the financials. The commercial sector has really been strong for a few years now. And folks may or may not be aware of this, but when 9/11 happened, the commercial sector took a pretty good while to really get going again, which was not a surprise, but we do a lot of work in that area, and it took a while to get going, and once it did get going, it has really been a strong area of the investing world for 3 or 4 years now, and we're just beginning to see some things that we want to be a little more alert about regarding the commercial area of real estate. And that's not to say that we're seeing anything ominous or anything of that nature, but you're talking about it in the framework of Interface. And that's why this credit crunch is such an important issue with the economy right now, is if this credit crunch continues and if it bleeds over into commercial development and commercial real estate and all those related areas, you would have to look for some sort of slowdown there as well.
Yeah, but that's an unknown quantity at this point.
I am beginning to see things that show some stress in that area, but that's not a surprise given what's going on in the economy right now and what's going on in the credit world.
I got you. Let's take a break here, okay. Mike. I'm going to go back and change the subject on you, I think, here. I've got to ask you about the Fed. We're looking at the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We'll be back after these messages. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. This has been an interesting week by the Fed. I think we all need to understand a little bit better what's been going on. Of course, it was, Tuesday the Fed cut the rate by a quarter percentage point. We saw the market tank just about.
Yeah.
And then we saw the action that it took on Wednesday. We saw an immediate, very positive reaction, and then that was followed by a sort of ho-hum reaction. The market closed up, some 40 points, 41 points, something like that on Wednesday.
That was yesterday. Well, maybe Wednesday was up. What was Wednesday at, 50? Something like that.
Yeah.
When you said 40, I thought you meant yesterday.
I think it was 41 on Wednesday. I may be wrong on that, but whatever. It wasn't up by a lot.
Right, that's right.
And just lead us through these whole series of events and the market's actions, as a result of those.
Yeah, this week was very interesting, and thank goodness we gave folks a little heads up last week to be prepared for some volatility. And we get setups where we see the signals that volatility is about to really, really go up, and we saw that last week. Oh, I'm sorry, when we talked last week on Friday and for this week, and we definitely got that. As far as Wednesday, when the Federal Reserve made their announcement, the Dow was up, as I remember, about 40 points or so right before the announcement. And then they announced a quarter point decrease in interest rates and the discount rate as well. And all of a sudden, the market fell off the table. And a lot of times during Fed days, you'll get an initial reaction, and then you'll get a counter reaction, and then you kind of go from there. And what happened Wednesday was you got the reaction, and that was pretty much it. It just continued to go down. And it was looking pretty ugly that afternoon and closed really weak and just looked awful as far as, one day. And, you'll get all sorts of opinions on why the market did what it did Wednesday. And everything I saw and read and heard everyone discussing seemed to center around all this disappointment and that the Fed didn't do what the market wanted. And on it went. And, again, this is just opinion, but I'm not quite sure why the market would be, quote, so disappointed. You and I talked a week or two leading into the meeting, and the expectation was a 0.25% cut, and that seemed to be the general consensus as well. And the market gets that, and all of a sudden it starts whining and complaining. So it was pretty interesting to listen to the media reports and all of that Wednesday afternoon. But why did it do that? There was some chatter building that maybe they would cut a half percentage point instead of a quarter. That may have been some of the, quote, disappointment. The other thing could have been, in fact, this is more my opinion than anything, I think what a lot of people lose sight of is when there's a big event coming in the market, we always try to clue folks in on normally when a big event is coming, it tends to take off the table one side of the market. In other words, the folks who would bet that the market's going to go down big, they may kind of back off the market until the event is out of the way. On the other hand, sometimes big events might make people want to wait to buy the market until after the event. So my point there is, I think that big Fed meeting was enough to keep a lot of people who would try to press the market down, pretty much keep them on the sidelines until after the meeting. So when the meeting's over, it may not be so much that everybody's disappointed as much as it is you've got both sides of the market, back in place, so to speak, and the downside side of the market grabbed hold of it Tuesday afternoon and took it down. So that, I think, was Tuesday. Wednesday was interesting. The futures Wednesday morning, just before the market opened on the Dow, were up about 250. It was not anything spectacular until the Fed came out with this meeting about the coordination with other global central banks. And all of a sudden, we get a big up move. The market opened, and it was immediately sold off. And a sloppy day there. And then yesterday, same type sloppiness. We were down about 100 points at one point yesterday. And finished up about 40 or so. So that leads you up to today. And as we have been saying a while now, the volatility continues and how interesting things are continues.
I see. Let's pause here, Mike. We are looking at the market this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking about the market this morning. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. Now, Mike, just picking up on our conversation about the Fed, we talked earlier about the producer price index, how much that was up. The core index was even up, what was it, by 0.4 of a percentage point, which was a pretty sizable increase compared with recent reports. Does that put the Fed in sort of a between a rock and a hard place situation?
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because a lot of the contacts I talk to in the business, one of the things we've been talking about for a while now is the Fed between a rock and a hard place? In other words, is inflation a problem in a slowing economic environment? And that's a tricky situation right there. Given the credit crunch and given what's going on in housing and mortgages and all of that, a lot of folks are of the opinion that the Fed needs to quit worrying about inflation and fight the battle that could hurt us the most, which may be this credit crunch and slowing economy. The recession talk has started, that sort of thing. So it's interesting you asked that question. The other interesting dynamic to that question, I think, is when the Fed released their statement Tuesday, a lot of what seemed to get folks really bent out of shape in the market is the Fed spent a paragraph talking about how things had worsened. They talked about the intensification of the housing correction. They talked about softening in business and consumer spending, strains in financial markets, all of that stuff. Then they come follow that up with a paragraph about worrying about inflation, and you know, on and on it goes about inflation and inflation risks and all that. And I think that's the one that disappointed some folks, but I don't know what they expect the Fed to do. I mean, they acknowledged that things had deteriorated some. They acknowledged the stresses in the financial system, the problems in housing, but they also had to give a nod to inflation because that's part of their mandate. So I just don't know why the statement would so-called disappoint so many people. The Fed, I think, said what they needed to say. And back to your question, a lot of folks were complaining Tuesday about the Fed being worried about inflation, but when you look at that report yesterday on PPI, it certainly gives some credence back to the Fed being right. A little bit concerned about inflation. It was warranted.
Right. Well, of course, so, I guess with gasoline rising as much as it did, I don't guess it shocked anybody, did it?
That's what I mean. I mean, yeah. It's with food costs doing what they're doing and a lot of commodities, yeah. Looking at the CRB index, which measures a lot of commodities, and again, looking at food costs, looking at crude oil prices and gas prices. I mean, I just don't know why anyone would be so surprised that PPI report was where it was, and I don't know why folks would be surprised or disappointed for the Fed to at least mention some inflation pressures out there. Now, when CPI comes out today, that, I think, will be far more important to the inflation question and the Federal Reserve's view on it than PPI is.
I gotcha. You know, an interesting comment made earlier this week by Greenspan. I think he said that he moved his chances of recession to a 50-50 situation. Is that something you fold into your thoughts?
No.
Okay. Why, is he selling books or something? Or is that meaningless?
I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't hear the question.
I say, is he just trying to sell books?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. He was speaking. I think he was speaking in Florida somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, at a luncheon or a breakfast or something. I may be totally wrong, but I think that's where that came from. And it's mentioned because Greenspan said it.
Yeah.
But do I factor it into our work because Greenspan said it? No.
50-50 seems a bit steep to me.
Not, well, I think, well, first of all, I don't disagree. You didn't ask me if I agreed or not. You just asked me if I factor it in. We do factor in, do we think a recession is coming? We factor in the recession possibilities and all of that. Well, maybe I should have been more clear. What I was answering is the fact that Greenspan is saying that. Does it mean anything to me? No.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth. But the inflation, I mean the recession situation, he was at roughly, I think, a 30% chance or something like that several months ago, and he's raised it to 50. Not to pick on Greenspan, but you do need to know he's the one that said housing had bottomed about a year ago.
Exactly,
and that
right.
Clearly was not the case.
Exactly right.
So, you know, I mean, I get stuff wrong, too. Don't get me wrong there. But my point is the fact that he has said it is not news to me. It doesn't
really
mean anything to me. But the recession chances, I do think, are higher than a lot of people realize.
Yeah, okay. Let's pause again here, Mike. We are looking at the market and the actions it's taken this week. Mike Barker's with us from Investment and Retirement Management. Stand by. We'll be right back. You're listening to Floor Radio. is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning. He's from Investment and Retirement Management. We're looking at the market. Now, Mike, when we talked last week, in fact, when we talked probably for the last several times, we talked about volatility. I think you talked about extreme volatility the last time we talked, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about volatility going forward? More of the same?
At least for the short term. Next week is an option expiration week, and I know that doesn't mean much to a lot of people, and it's probably kind of a little bit of a foreign concept, but just realize that next week's an option expiration week. It's also the end of a quarter. It's also the end of the year as far as the option expiration. So that alone can lend itself to some pretty wild swings next week. It typically will lead to at least a big one-day volatility increase, so we'll watch for that. And then you add in all the other things brewing out there in the market, there's no telling what the volatility could be like next week. After that, you'll have the option expiration out of the way. Corporate announcements tend to slow down once you move into the second half of December, and, of course, the holidays and the weekend between Christmas and New Year. So it next week may be it for the year as far as the big swings and all that, but we'll reassess that mindset the end of next week, because in this market, it's you almost have to throw away a lot of the normal expectations, so to speak. You almost have to throw those out the window and just take it day by day. So I think that's where we stand as far as the short term.
I see. So I guess over the holiday season here, we can expect at least there's not as many people going to be players, and things are going to be a little bit calm, I guess, comparatively speaking.
Well, I think so, but let's just kind of table that for the moment. We've got to get through next week first, and with all the announcements that continue to come out from financial companies regarding write-offs and loan loss provisions and bad debt exposure and all that sort of thing, we very well could have announcements like that on through the end of the year. I just don't know yet. I think what we'll do is next week I think will be volatile.
I see.
But I think we'll just take it at the end of next week and revisit that question. I do still... It was a little tricky Tuesday. I don't want to kid you about that. Tuesday was a little interesting. But last week we talked about how we were still seeing fairly constructive indicators and signs of all the things we look at through the end of the year for the market. And Tuesday did not change that. There was really nothing Tuesday that deteriorated any of those signals, so to speak, to change them. Now, that could change in a day or two. Who knows? But for now, we still see some fairly constructive setups through the end of the year anyway. And
yeah.
Then, you know, if that turns out to be correct, we'll take it from there.
Just looking forward into 2008 and the first quarter, it just doesn't seem like there's expectations for a whole lot of positive things coming down the pike.
Yeah, I agree. And that dynamic, I think, will be one of the more interesting setups I think we've seen going into an earnings period in a long time, and we'll talk about that a lot more going into it. But in January, starting about the second or third week, when we start getting earnings reports for this current quarter, this is the quarter where we had a lot of turmoil in the markets, a lot of things. Well, I don't have to get into it all, but everyone knows all the things that have been brewing out there this quarter. And what's going to be interesting is, as we always talk about on the show, expectations are oftentimes more important than the actual news. So if we go into the earnings announcements the second and third week in January with very, very low expectations, they may actually come out and not be good at all, and the market may not go down because the expectations are already priced into the market. So that's just talking at this point. We'll probably need to revisit that first week or so in January and maybe get a sense of what the expectation levels are. So, but you mentioned an interesting dynamic that might be the most interesting that has been in a long time.
I've got you. Good place to leave it. Mike, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week unless a crisis looms.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and this is Floor Radio.